Hello, YouTube. So, as you know, there's been a ceasefire announced in the Middle East. And many of you are curious as to what this ceasefire means. Well, I still believe that the United States, Israel, and Iran are fully committed to war. And the ceasefire, it's really about attempting to shape the narrative around this war, trying to control the terms, trying to determine how the war will be fought. So for Iran, for the Ayatollah, it's very important that the Iranian people understand that Iran is forced into this war. In a speech to the Iranian people right after the US bombing, he created a dichotomy between Iran and the United States. Iran is a nation dedicated to peace. The United States is a nation dedicated to war. The Iranian people live the truth. The American people tell the lie. And the Iranian people will do all it can to achieve peace. But if forced to defend sovereignty, if forced to defend their faith, then the Iranian people will fight to the death. The Iranian people will never surrender. But if an opportunity for peace presents itself, then the Iranian people, the Iranian nation, the Ayatollah, will grasp at that opportunity. Trump did launch the attacks against Iran, but he's trying to create the narrative that this is happening not because this is what he wants, but because he's forced to do so by the globalists, by the deep state, by the American empire. He himself is a person who only aspires for world peace. But these warmongers, these neocons within his administration, who are embedded in the deep state and who have tentacles all around the world, they are undermining him and forcing him to act against Iran. But he will fight for the American people, he will fight for world peace. And that's why he is trying as hard as he can to broker a peace deal between Israel and Iran. Both Trump and the Ayatollah can do this, can try to be the peacemakers, because they know that Netanyahu will continue to push for war, that Israel will continue to be the aggressor in this war. So Israel is really the scapegoat. But it's really important for us to understand that all three leaders, Trump, the Ayatollah, and Netanyahu, are committed to war for different reasons. So in today's talk, I want to explain to you what's really driving these three individuals? Why are they committed to war? And what do they want from this war? And for us to understand this, I want to introduce to you a new concept. It's called the Messianic Calling. Each of these individuals, Trump, the Ayatollah, and Netanyahu, see themselves as historical Messianic figures. They're on a mission from God to save the world, to save their people, to deliver their people into the promised land. And if we need to understand that this is ultimately what's driving them. Not fame, not power, nothing but this Messianic calling. That's what's really driving them. So let me explain what this messianic calling is by explaining to you its three major characteristics. The first major characteristic is that when you truly believe that you are on a mission from God, that you are the chosen one, that you are the prophet, that God smiles on you, you have access to divine energy. What is divine energy? Let me give you an example. Maybe you're a mother and you're taking your three-year-old into the forest. You get lost and you're wandering the woods, and then suddenly a black bear pounces on you. Well, as a mother, what's going to happen is, and you could be petite, you could be weak, what's going to happen is you suddenly, when your child is under attack, under threat, you will find unlimited energy, strength, and courage to fight off this bear, and you will succeed. And we know because there's been a couple of anecdotes like this. So a mother's love for a child is one of the strongest forces in the world. Now, to understand divine energy, just multiply this mother's love for her child by about a million. And you can understand how energized, how motivated, how powerful people with the messianic calling feels. The classic example is Trump, right? So Trump, during the campaign season, he would get up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, do a lot of tweets, watch a lot of TV. He would get on his plane and go to a campaign rally where he would talk endlessly for a couple hours. Then he would get back on the plane and then fly somewhere else and do another rally. And then he would do another rally in front of 50,000 people. And then he would watch the news, and then he'd go to bed, sleep soundly, and get up the next morning to do it again for 2, 3, 4 months. And you have to ask yourself, why is he so energetic? He's 79. Why is he so motivated? I mean, he's not in the best health in the world because he eats McDonald's all the time, and he's clearly obese for his age. But none of this matters because his faith in his mission, the fact that he knows that he's been chosen by God to complete his mission, that fills him with an infinite energy. And that's where his strength comes from. The second characteristic of people who are filled with a messianic calling is that they are absolutely fearless. They know that because God has chosen them, God will protect them. And so no bullets can harm them. Okay, so Trump, so the classic example again is Trump. He was almost assassinated at Butler, Pennsylvania. And remember how, even though the bullet came close to him, he was still able to get up and pump his fist and shout to the people, "Fight, fight, fight." Okay, it's his absolute fearlessness. They know that God will always protect them. But also, even if they were to die, they would go straight to heaven and be with God. They're one of the elect. And then finally, their bodies no longer matter. Their bodies are just vessels for this divine energy to be transplanted on earth. When they die, when this vessel breaks and it fills the followers with divine energy as well. They become martyrs, and their followers will complete the mission on their behalf. So they've transcended death. They've transcended this material world. They are now ideas. They are now faith. They're now inspiration for their followers. And so therefore they are immortal, they're eternal, and they're invincible. The third characteristic of people with messianic calling is the persecution complex. The idea is, how do you know that you are one of the elect? How do you know that God has chosen you? It's because society, the world, everyone around you persecutes you, right? So again, the classic example is Trump. Trump survived two impeachments. In his first term, the deep state filled his cabinet, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, Nikki Haley. Everyone was part of the deep state, and they undermined him. In fact, you had generals brag about how they intentionally disobeyed Trump's orders. In fact, you had one general, Mark Milley, who told the Chinese government, don't listen to Trump. He's not really in charge. If you have any issues, call us directly. Okay, so they were undermining him. The media every day was lambasting him, cursing him. The whole world was cursing him or laughing at him, right? The European elite was laughing at him. Remember when Trump was talking about the Nord Stream pipeline and how it would cause German dependency on Russian oil? Those German ambassadors were at the back of the United Nations just laughing their heads off at Trump. After he left office, Trump had to survive lawfare, right? They raided his home at Mar-a-Lago. They tried to bankrupt him. They tried to throw him in prison for extremely spurious offenses. So Trump feels he's persecuted, but that's good for him. That energizes him because it makes him feel that God is testing him. God wants to know, do you truly believe in your mission? Are you truly committed to your mission? And through this persecution process, Trump will develop more and more faith, more strength, more power. This divine energy is filling him. And this divine energy will allow him to fulfill his mission. Let's look at the Ayatollah. Right now, the world's most sophisticated intelligence agency, Mossad, is hunting him. They want to assassinate him. The American military, the most powerful military in human history, with their precision bombs, with their satellite technology, they're hunting the Ayatollah as well. And the Ayatollah is 86. So given all this, how does the Ayatollah feel right now? And the answer is he feels ecstatic. He's never been more alive. He's never been more energetic. He's never felt more vibrant in his life. He feels as though the moment he's been waiting for all his life, the moment he's dreamt of all his life, the opportunity to kill the great Satan, it is now before him. And so he's not going to die. And if you ask him to go run a marathon tomorrow, he could do so. That's the power of divine energy combined with the persecution complex. Netanyahu is the same situation. Netanyahu, his country, Israel, it's divided. There are all these corruption charges against him and his family. And right now, as long as he's in office, he's immune from these charges. But the moment that this war stops, then he would face corruption charges and he would probably be thrown in prison. He's not fazed by any of this. He knows that this persecution, it's all a sign that God favors him. And this persecution will ultimately give him the strength, the faith to fulfill his divine mission on earth. So now what I want to talk about is, what exactly is the divine mission? How do each individual perceive their divine mission? So I'll start with the Ayatollah, because that's fairly simple. The Persians, their belief system is a combination of both Zoroastrianism as well as Shia Muslim. Zoroastrianism is the world's first eschatological religion, and in it is a moral clarity. The world is divided between good and evil, between light and dark, between the truth and the lie. And this is the very structure of the cosmos. And these two forces have been at war since the beginning of time. Eventually, these forces will meet in a final climatic battle. And at this point, we humans, we must make the decision as to what force to join. Will we fight for the side of good, or will we fight for the side of evil? And clearly, the Ayatollah believes that he must unite the Muslim world and have them fight on the side of good against the great evil, the great Satan, which is the United States and their vassal state, Israel. The Shia Muslim religion is one that believes that suffering, persecution, and sacrifice, it's all part of your faith. If you truly believe, then you will suffer and you will sacrifice yourself. So the Ayatollah is willing to die for what he believes in. He's willing to die for his faith. That for him would be the greatest honor. So the Ayatollah, what he wants, it's pretty clear. He wants to lure the great Satan into Iran. He wants to lure the great Satan into his lair, where he will take his flaming sword and stab the great Satan to death, thus freeing his people from oppression, from persecution, from suffering. And by killing the great Satan, he will save his people and save the world. Okay, so that's the divine mission of the Ayatollah. Donald Trump, what is his divine mission? Well, he wants to make America great again. So why is America not great? The reason why is, for the past 100 years, America has been co-opted by the globalists. And America has been forced to engage in these forever wars in the Middle East that has killed thousands of good American soldiers. And this was done at the behest of the globalists. These globalists have also forced open American borders and let in millions and millions of illegal immigrants in order to corrupt America, in order to destroy civil society in America. These globalists also have, in the school curriculum, infested the teachings of young children with multiculturalism, with woke politics, with DEI, diversity, inclusion, equity, these ideas. So these ideas, globalism, liberalism, and multiculturalism, are cancers on the body of the American Republic. And you can't negotiate with cancers. You can't wait for cancers to die out. You must purge these cancers from the body of the American Republic with blood and fire. So the divine mission for Trump is to destroy the American empire by embroiling it into an unwinnable war against Iran. But not only that, but to compel the American people to rise up against their globalist oppressors and overthrow them, to remove America from the world and to achieve its manifest destiny, which is basically control over North America, which is the promised land, which is what God promised to the Americans. And once America recognized that it should not interfere in global affairs, Europe, Asia, Africa, who cares? They're hopeless. Once America is able to restore its Republican soul and spirit, then America will be great again. And Donald Trump, his mission is to lead the American people in the revolution against the global elite and to restore the American Republic. Okay, that's Donald Trump. Then you have Benjamin Netanyahu. For Benjamin Netanyahu, like many, many Israelis, they believe that the golden age of the Jewish people was the Kingdom of David, which occurred about 3,000 years ago. That was when Israel, the nation, was free, independent, unified, and supreme in the Middle East. It was a time of peace and prosperity for the world. But after the Kingdom of David collapsed, Israel has been attacked by its neighbors and has been dismembered and has become a vassal state. First, the Assyrians and Babylonians came to dismember Israel. Then Israel became a vassal state to the Persians. Then after the Persians came the Ptolemies of Egypt. And after that were the Seleucid Empire. The Jews were able to rebel against the Seleucid Empire and establish the reign of the Maccabees. But that didn't last very long because the Romans came right after that. And the Romans were brutal. The Romans killed many, many Jews, and they exiled the Jews from Jerusalem. Their place of worship, and they destroyed the Second Temple. So the Romans were extremely brutal. In the 7th century, the Islamic Caliphate restored the Jews to Jerusalem, but they were still not masters of their own land. So the entire project of Israel is to return to the glory days of the kingdom of David. And now is a historical opportunity to achieve that. The only opposition against reestablishing the kingdom of David is Iran and the United States. And if both can be destroyed in a cataclysmic war, then you will have the restoration of the kingdom of David. Israel will be a unified nation again. All Jews can now return to Israel, and Israel can be the light of all nations, which is what the nation aspires to. Of course, this raises a really interesting question. For the Empire of Israel to be born, the Empire of America needs to be destroyed. So why would America just sit back and let this happen? Why would the global elite allow for Israel to become dominant in the Middle East? Remember, the center of global trade is the Middle East. Most of the world's oil is in the Middle East. Well, I think Israel will achieve its ambition. And the reason why is there are certain elements of the American empire. There are certain elements of the global elite that want the kingdom of David to be restored. They want the American empire to be destroyed and to leave the Middle East. They want to help Netanyahu achieve his messianic calling. These elements are what we can loosely call Christian Zionists. They believe that for Jesus to return, the nation of Israel has to be reconstituted. They have to rebuild their temple, and they have to call back all the Jews from around the world. And there has to be a final battle between Israel and the world. And they believe that it is their messianic calling to make this prophecy happen. And you hear this and you think this is all really silly. But let me tell you two things. The first thing is this plan, this prophecy, has been in place for centuries. This Christian Zionist project has been around ever since the Protestant Reformation. And these people have been patiently planning and waiting for today. That's the first thing. The second thing you need to know is there's a man who actually conceived this Christian Zionist project, who built the intellectual foundations for Christian Zionism. And this man, you know his name, but you may not really know who he is. His name is Isaac Newton. And you know that, yeah, he is the founder of calculus, and he conceived the foundations for classical mechanics in physics. But you don't know who the real historical Isaac Newton is. The real historical Isaac Newton saw himself as a prophet with a messianic calling to understand the mind of God and to prepare for the return of Jesus. And as you probably know, Isaac Newton was a very, very smart man. So in my next video, I'm going to talk about the real historical Isaac Newton and what his plan is. Because once you understand all this, then what's happening in the Middle East makes a lot more sense.